Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Let's just enter into His presence this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There has been such an attitude of praise and worship in this place this morning. Hallelujah. Prior to the service starting, we were sitting here just, God's up to something. He wants to do something this morning. And I can't tell you that I know what that is, except that I know that it's to bless people. It's to deliver people. It's to set people free. And to shed abroad in our hearts His love for one another and for the people out there. Amen. For those who are suffering, who are in need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There is a heavy anointing this morning in this place. So we want to follow suit with that. We want to just flow with it. Amen? Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. And we thank you for your people. But more than anything, Lord, the most important, we thank you, Lord, for you revealing yourself to your creation, Lord. Bringing us into the family of God and making us children and heirs with you, joint heirs with you, Lord. Thank you for delivering to us and causing every blessing that you have, every promise that you have to come to pass in our lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we walk in health. We are prosperous. We are of sound mind. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done because of the sacrifice that you made according to the Father's plan and will and His love. More than anything, because of His love, to deliver us, to set us free, to set our feet on that rock, on the rock Christ Jesus. We thank you for that this morning. Now we just commit this service to you. Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way. We release this service into you. I release myself and these people into you, Lord, and into what you have and what your plan and purpose is this morning. We praise you, we worship you, we give you glory and honor. And we say, Lord, we have open hearts, receptive minds, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. And as the Scripture says, it's like the precious oil that ran down the head, even down the beard and onto the garments of Aaron, the high priest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I think this morning we just need to get into our music. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you for everything you are, everything you give us, Lord. More than anything, for giving us you, Lord, we thank you. But for giving us promises, Lord. For showing us, Lord, that you're steadfast, you're true, you're faithful. We thank you for this morning, Lord. Right now, Lord, as we continue on, again, Lord, Holy Spirit, it's your service. You do what you want. Order our steps in your word. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I yield to you, Lord. I yield to you. This is not my show, Lord. It's your show. It's your deal, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We honor your word this morning, Lord. We give you praise and thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I've had a struggle this week. Imagine that. You know, I don't think we really take seriously, and I know we don't like it. But that's because of our sensual nature. By the way, it's so good to see all of you this morning. You don't know how much I've missed y'all. Ones who are here today that have not been here for a while. You're greatly missed. But because of our sensual nature, which... Now, don't throw stones at me because I tell you this, or tomatoes. We're going to have struggles as long as we're in this flesh. And we're never going to be free of the flesh in this life. But thank God we are being changed from glory to glory. We're being changed step by step. Here a little, there a little, Amen? Hallelujah. And we're climbing from glory to glory. Amen. And how are we doing that? Why are we doing that? We're doing that because Jesus has begun a work in us that wants to conform us into image and likeness, to transform our thinking and our imaginations so that we don't consider the things of this earth, but we consider the truth of God, which is in His Word. Because we are sensual beings, that's why we need a Savior. Sensual, what do I mean by that? I'm not talking about just sensuality. I'm talking about the fact that we operate in our senses. Amen. We operate in our senses. And the whole time I was meditating on this and God was speaking to my heart, I was thinking, if I may, about Karen and Bob and what they went through when they were waiting for their home to close and the blessing that God had for them. I mean, you talk about an attack. Dear God. Here was the person they were dealing with was not honest, as I understand. He was playing games with them. He was basically trying to mess them over. But let me tell you something. What he didn't know is he was messing with God's anointed. And the Word of God says, don't touch my anointed. Now, how do I know we're His anointed? They're Karen and Bob are His anointed. Because Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, lives and dwells in them. He is at the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone and the foremost consideration in their lives. And because God says He turns all things to good for those who love Him and those who are called according to His purpose, it turned out for God's kingdom and glory, and you got blessed. Amen? And God took care. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that's nothing to sneeze at. But it turned out for good. And the gentleman who tried to mess them over, who had evil in his thoughts and his mind and his heart. How many know that evil only comes, just like peace and the things of God only come from the heart, because that's what you've hidden in there. What was in his heart was exposed and he suffered the consequences. Am I right? He suffered the consequences. Karen and Bob didn't touch him. No. It wasn't their desire, I don't believe, for him to be nailed, but for justice and righteousness to prevail in that situation. Amen. I like it when y'all get excited like that. In 1 Peter 5, verse 6, it says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting, in verse 7, and that word casting means to throw off or away, or to get rid of, or to discard, all your care. Why? For He cares for you. Now, we've touched on this, but because of the struggle that I've been going through, and it was sensual. I'm going to be honest with you. Once again, I'm sorry to burst anybody's bubble, but your pastor's not perfect. Amazing. You just got some revelation, didn't you? When you look at the word care in that scripture that says casting or discarding all your care on Him, that word care, literally translated, there's only one word in the definition from Strong's, and that is anxiety. How many here have ever had an anxiety attack? Now, I'm not talking about the something ones they hospitalize you for, but I mean, dear God, I mean, you talk about missiles coming, the fiery darts of the enemy. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it just seems like they're never ending, and they come all the time. But again, the Word says many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers them or him or her out of them all. And then he went on to say, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Hello? What did he say? Be of good cheer. Why? Because He has overcome the world. That means there's nothing this world has to throw at us that's going to be able to stand. And when you've got that shield of faith, It'll take those darts, I don't care how big, or missiles, if you want to call them missiles sometimes. They feel like it, don't they? They look like it. I mean, Lord, my word. But it'll quench all of them. It'll grab them, reach out, grab them, extinguish them, and violently throw them to the ground. Listen to what Merriam-Webster says about anxiety. I've talked about this before, but folks, we need to understand. The afflictions that we go through are usually perpetrated on ourselves. Why? Because we operate in the sensual nature. When you're going through trials and attacks, and you think, dear God, what? I mean, the enemy's just unleashed everything he's got at me. 99% of the time, it's because of our own doing or not doing what God says. Listen carefully now. I'm not saying the devil doesn't attack. But he's not the one who's in charge of all this as much as we think he is. Amen. 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 It's our own sensual nature. There are things going on in my life right now that from the, listen carefully, the physical or the carnal outlook look like, man, you're on a sinking ship. How many have been there? Amen. Amen. The word anxiety in Merriam-Webster's dictionary is a painful or apprehensive uneasiness of mind. Oh, here we go, talking about the mind again. Perception. Perception is part of the mind, the will, and the emotions, folks. And when these things come, if we don't watch real carefully, then we get dragged into heaviness. Again, apprehension. We get dragged into discouragement. Maybe doubt. Amen. It says a painful or apprehensive uneasiness of mind over an impending or anticipated ill. An anticipated ill. I mean, dear God, a suggestion comes or something happens and you see it, and right away the suggestion is there. Oh, this, you're going to fail this time. God's word isn't true. You know, if you could stand back and listen to yourself, you'd laugh. Or you'd give yourself a swift kick in the rear. Maybe you need both. But the point is, we get into things that are carnal or sensual because we're acting on our feelings and what we see and not what we know. Amen? It's a fearful concern or interest. A cause for anxiety. What are the causes for anxiety? You got a real estate broker who's agent who's trying to scam you. He's being dishonest. But instead of standing up and saying, wait a minute, my Bible says no weapon formed against me will prosper. It will not be effective in my life because God said so. That's why. Not because of me, but because God said so. And I'm His. We get shook up and, oh, what do we do now? Man, what happened? How did this happen? How did we get into this? Can I tell you why? Not so you could be brought down, but so you could be elevated to another level of faith in God, but so God can be elevated to another level of glory in your life. Amen? Hang on, I might get excited here. It's an abnormal, listen carefully, people, please. It's an abnormal and overwhelming sense of apprehension and fear, often marked by physiological signs such as sweating, tension, and increased pulse. By doubt concerning, listen, the reality and nature of the threat, by self-doubt about one's capacity to cope with it. When you get into a situation like that, if Jesus says you're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, that only with your eyes will we behold and see the reward of the wicked, then you need to understand that I don't care what the attack is. Right then and there, when you see that attack coming or you feel like it's an attack, you need to go back and start praising and worshiping God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. There's release in giving God praise. Not only that, He steps on a scene in ways that we can't even imagine because we've decided to do what He said And that's giving praise and glory. And trust Him. See, when these things are happening, it's a tendency for a moment there to mistrust instead of trust. Amen. Amen. And of course, because of that definition in 3308 in your Strong's, which means care means anxiety, care and anxiety are linked together. They're inseparable. Care means suffering of the mind. Now, I happen to know a story that was brought to my attention recently of one of our family who was being attacked on all sides. And if that's happening, don't. Please don't. Listen to me, I'm begging you. Don't sit back and just let the attack come. When you're under the attack, sometimes you're not thinking straight. Sometimes you need some help. You need somebody to hold up your arms. So call. I don't care if it's me or Harry and Marie or whoever. Call. Don't go through it alone. Because they're not going through it. They can see and operate in things that for the moment you may be struggling with. Doesn't mean you're less of a Christian because of it. Doesn't mean God's any less in your life. It just means for the moment there's something that looks insurmountable, overwhelming in your eyes. And of course, one of the first things we do is we start to ask, well, God, what didn't I do or what did I do that was wrong? What did I omit or what did I commit? Did you catch that? To cause this to happen. And it doesn't 99% of the time, it doesn't have anything to do with what we did. See, if we look at it in the right perspective, that's an opportunity for God to stand up, show Himself strong on our behalf, as the Bible says, and show that He is in control. And then we see and we believe once and for all that no weapon, I don't care what it is, I don't care if it's an attack in your finances, I don't care if it's your automobile breaking down, I don't care if it's troubles in your family, I don't care if it's troubles with a loved one, I don't care if it's trouble on the job, I don't care if it's anxiety caused by, you know, all kinds of commotion in your life, or you know, whatever the situation is, it's under the control of God. Oh, y'all missed a good place to say amen. Amen. It's under the control of God. Why? Because we've put Him in that position. If we weren't Christians, He wouldn't be in control. Amen. Amen. We need to cast all of our care, all our anxiety on Him. Because it brings, you get disconcerted. You lose your peace. What did He tell you? Keep your mind on Him. If what's going on in your life does not look like, smell like, sound like, or you see in the Word, then it's not from God. It's an attack. It's that simple. It's that simple. And rather than get beside yourself, mumble and grumble and growl and complain, run to the rock that's higher than you and I. Amen? He'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on Him. If your mind is fixed on Him. Hallelujah. Suffering of mind or grief, that's what care is. It's a disquieted state of mixed uncertainty. In other words, you don't know how this is going to work out. And instead of running to God. And of course, once again, the other thing that attacks about that time is, Lord, I need it now. And we forget that God's neither early nor late. He's always right on time. He said, I will never leave you and forsake you. And if you look back in your life, you'll find that ever, no matter what the situation is, He never left you or forsook you. Amen. Amen. Apprehension and responsibility. In other words, oh, I messed up. It's all my fault. What am I going to do now? That's the commission, sin of commission. Or the idea of commission. What I do wrong. And care is a cause for that kind of anxiety that just absolutely just begins, it steals your peace. Amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Care is painstaking or watchful attention. Where's your attention? On the thing you care about. The thing that's in your face right now. Care is a person or thing that is an object of attention and it brings anxiety or solicitude. You hear me? Care and anxiety are always linked. Once again, all of these words. I know we talked about this not too long ago, but I obviously, and I'm not the only one who goes through this or who is going through this. And I'm, you know what? I'm not going through it anymore. I'm not. I refuse it. I've come to the place where I'm so tired of being stupid and looking like a fool that I'm not going there anymore. Because I'm telling you, that's dumb. You've got all the promises of God. You've got the presence of God in your life. The one who took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and you're standing there moaning about what? You're standing there wallowing in doubt and unbelief and misery over what? Are we victors or are we victims? Amen. If you're struggling with that, then get in the book. Amen. Care, concern, solicitude, anxiety, and worry. They're all linked. They're all hand in hand. They're all arm in arm. And together, what they mean is a troubled or engrossed state of mind or the thing that causes this. Whatever causes the engrossed state of mind. In other words, where's your mind? On the problem. We're peculiar, all right. Just like the Bible says. No wonder Jesus and God sit in the heavens and laughs. I'll tell you what. When we're in Him, we can be brilliant. When we start to get kind of off kilter or off track, I'm telling you, it's almost like we're stuck in stupid. You know, our gear is stuck in stupid. Because it's dumb. Why do I put myself, why do I allow myself, why do you allow yourself to go through those things when you have the answer? I didn't say the solution for the moment, but I said the answer. Who's the answer? That's right. Amen. He's the answer. And when you listen to Him, the Holy Spirit comes and brings the solution. Amen? Amen. Those things all mean a troubled or engrossed state of mind or the thing that causes this. Care, listen carefully, care implies, their very implication of care is oppression of the mind weighed down by responsibility or disquieted by apprehension. Apprehension? What apprehension? God, are you really going to meet my need? God, am I really going to come out of this? Is it going to happen too late? Right away, we're standing at the microwave of life, punching the buttons, hoping we'll get an instant answer. And once again, it's not the answer, it's not the outcome we struggle with, it's the timing. But God, I'm in the middle of this now. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. That still small voice. Did you ever notice when He comes, He doesn't come all excited like you? Oh, what are we going to do? We got to get on this. That's us. That's because of this thing called the flesh. Don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. We could shut ourselves up for just a minute, God would show us great and mighty things that we don't even know. He'd bring us back into the... That's exactly right. That's what we're talking about. Kathy, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. Exactly right. And what's amazing, and I know Kathy understands this, is even when we do something really stupid, even when we do something stupid, there are a lot of things that happen to us through no fault of our own. They just happen. It's an attack, okay? Or, you know what, maybe we ought to stop looking at them as attacks. Maybe we ought to start looking at them as opportunities to see the hand of God move and get the victory and show people that God's really real. Because that's what they are, is opportunities for God to show Himself strong in yours, in my behalf. Woohoo! I like it. The next one is concern. Concern implies a troubled state of mind because of, listen carefully, personal interest, relation, or affection. Ooh, that's just a little bit uncomfortable. Concern implies a troubled state of mind because of personal interest, relation, or affection. The Bible says where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Or where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And yet God says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What treasure? The treasure of the truth and the promises of the living, almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. If it gets a little too close, I'd say that's personal interest, wouldn't you? Or the relation of the situation. Maybe it's the relation of the object or the objects Or maybe it's the relation and how it affects the people who are around you. And that troubles your mind. And because of affection, where are your affections today? Where are your affections today? Solicitude implies great concern and connotes either thoughtful or hovering attentiveness towards another or another thing. What do you think would happen if all of a sudden we turned our attention off of the things of this earth, the things of the flesh, and turned our attention on God in those situations? We might get bitten by the joy bug, huh? We might find the joy of the Lord, which is what? Our strength. I don't think y'all heard that. I said the joy of the Lord is our strength. And anxiety simply stresses anguish. It stresses, it personifies, it magnifies, it amplifies anguished uncertainty or fear of misfortune and failure. Amen. Once again, just in case you think that, I don't care whether your name's Kenneth Copeland, I don't care whether your name's Bill, I don't care who you are, you're not free of these things. But the Bible says, now thanks be to God. Listen carefully. Now thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. Amen? Always causes us to triumph. What am I worried about? What am I fussing about? We need to look to the rock who's higher than us. He says, call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't even know. You can't conceive. Fear, uncertainty, anxiety, joy, strength, wisdom. Amen. Worry suggests, the very thing, thought of worry, the very word worry, suggests fretting over matters that may or may not be real or be a real cause for anxiety. Did you get that, or do I need to repeat it? Worry suggests fretting over matters that may or may not be real cause for anxiety, or a real cause for anxiety. But I have a real reason to have hope. I have a real reason to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set me free, and not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, as the manner of some people. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Once again, I'm going to read you 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. You know, sometimes when we get into struggles and things, and you know, a bombardment and attacks of the mind, it's not God that's being exalted, it's us. All of a sudden, we're on the throne of our lives, because that's where our attention is. Who does that suggest we're worshiping? Not comfortable, is it? But verse 7 says, casting or throwing down or throwing off or away, getting rid of or discarding all, A-L-L, your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You put it on Him, He is the answer, He has the answer, and He deals with it. Why? Because He loves you, because you're His child, and because He's promised it to you. Read the book. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing. And yet when these bombardments of the mind because of circumstances in your life, and they're circumstances, that's all they are. You can't change the truth, but you can change your circumstances. Now don't look at me in that tone of voice. You know what I'm saying. You can't change the truth, but you can change your circumstances. By what? Believing the truth, walking in the truth, surrendering to the truth. Amen. 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 But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses, what? The peace of God. Whatever was disquieting your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, the peace of God will calm that. And it surpasses all understanding. Can anybody here tell me about the peace of God? What does that mean? It surpasses all of my understanding. I know it's real. I know it's there. When I have peace, I don't care what's going on around me. You know, it's just like a soldier who's standing out there in the middle of a battle. What are we? God's army. Hello, we're soldiers. Soldiers in the army of God. And the battle's going on, and the mortars and rifle fire and everything's going on around us, and we're just going around just steadfast, our eyes on the Lord. And he says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. No plan, no attack, no device. No earthly wisdom. Amen? It can't prosper. Amen. That's what it's all about. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. By what? By prayer, supplications, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will what? Listen carefully. This is pretty cool. Will guard. What's going to guard your heart? The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds, hearts and minds, mind, will, and emotions, seat of appetites, through Christ Jesus. Through Jesus, through the anointed one, Jesus. Ha. Philippians 4, 8 says, think on these things. Whatever things are noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous and praiseworthy, consider, think on these things, if you will, allow me that liberty, or meditate on these things. You can't do that if you're caught up in the moment, if you're caught up in the anxiety of some situation. God tells us He will never leave us nor forsake us. So what are we believing at that moment when the attack or the anxiety comes? That for a moment He's left us? He lied to us? That's not true. Amen. That's not true. He said He would never. Do we understand the gravity of what God says and how if it's truth that it can't change? And if He doesn't fulfill it, then He has to destroy Himself. Do you understand the gravity of what He's saying there? Saying, if I ever lie to you or I don't fulfill my word, He's already promised heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. What is His word? It's His promises. It's the truth that's revealed in His word that we have in the book and that He reveals to us individually. Virtuous and praiseworthy. Remember, He says, in everything, give thanks. Don't thank Him for the problem. Thank Him for the opportunity that He has to show Himself strong on your behalf, to build His kingdom, to show that He is still on the throne and He's still acting in your behalf. Why? Because He loves you. And because, like it says in Hebrews 13:8, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There are so many churches who are living in bondage today because they think the things of God have changed. Bless their darling hearts and mixed up minds. He hasn't changed. But what He's done is He's promised us that in Him, if we'll keep our focus on Him, we'll believe in Him, we'll stay with Him, we'll do the same things He did and even greater things. And how can we do that if we've got calamity and stuff hanging on us and keeping our mind away from the things and the promises of God and the things we know God has for us? Can't do it. No man can serve two masters. Amen. Amen. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed or don't be patterned after this present age or world, but be changed. Allow those circumstances to change in your life when they come. Don't entertain them for a moment. Let them be changed or metamorphosized by the renewing of what? Your mind. Get your mind renewed. Amen? Get your mind renewed. By what? The Word of God. What happens when we use the Word of God? What happens the washing of the water by the Word. It washes out all that crud, all that old yucky stuff. And the cleanness and the purity of God and God's Word come to light, and that's what remains. Amen? Listen, what happens when you don't wash your hands, especially in a setting like a hospital or in a food store? Exactly. That's what's happening to us when we allow those kind of thoughts to happen in our lives. Contamination. Amen. But the washing of the water of the Word cleans away that contamination. When you wash your hands in a restaurant or whatever, when you're told to do so and you do it thoroughly, you do it right with the right tools, the soap and the water, let the water run, you're washing away any contamination that might make you sick. I'm here to tell you this morning, anything that's not from God makes me sick. I don't like it. I can't stand it. I wallowed in that before I was saved. I'm not going back. Amen. Amen. Last two scriptures, Psalms 133. Is this helping anybody? 133, 1 through 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down the beard of Aaron, running down the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. Listen, life forevermore. Now, one of the reasons I'm telling you this scripture is exactly what I said earlier. If you're running through a struggle and you're being bombarded, your mind is being bombarded for whatever reason, and there's no shame in that. The shame is staying there and allowing the devil to tear you down to the point where you're discouraged and you're ready to throw in the towel. That's when there's shame in it. If Jesus is in you and all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Him bodily, meditate on that for a minute now. If He's the one who has the power and has been given authority over all principality and power, if He's the ruler of all principality and power, are you beginning to see a picture here? Beginning to get a glimpse? Is the light starting to shine through? And finally, Ephesians 4:12. The reason we call upon one another. Let me tell you something. Swallow your stinking pride. Do you hear me? It stinks coming from me just as much as it does from anybody, so I'm talking to me too. Let me go back and read verse 11. And He Himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. For what reason? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Okay, that's not exactly the scripture that I wanted. Ephesians 4:12. Okay, anyway, still good. But that's the reason you have these things. That's the reason we have one another. Call up and say, Harry, I'm struggling today. You know what? He's never told me, well, Bill, I hope you get over it. He's been right there. And vice versa. Amen? We need one another. Because there's going to be times, more times maybe than we'd like, where we have to depend on one another. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyway, one of the reasons that we stick together and we come together in unity is because it lengthens our stakes, or lengthens our borders and strengthens our stakes. And then also when you start to put, the Bible says one will put 1,000, two will put 10,000. When you come together, two or more, three, the Scripture says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now think of the power you have already according to Psalms 91:1 or 91. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it'll not come nigh you. Now you get two. That's 2,000 and 20,000. Are you getting the picture? I was teasing Kathy this morning. Various times, for no reason that I can explain, or I think she can. I'm sitting there minding my own business, and all of a sudden her phone calls my phone. And there's nobody there. I can hear stuff going on in the background, but there's nobody there. Sometimes maybe our equipment's smarter than we are. You know how some people try to figure out certain things, electronic and stuff like that. You know, you'll heard the old saying, you got to be smarter than it is. See, part of running to the rock that's higher than you is going to the one or to someone who can help you in your affliction. What's that? Absolutely. See, everybody knows that divided we fall, but united we stand. Amen? Why do you think that they tell you don't walk by yourself at night when you're going to your car or when you're in a place that you're not really sure of the territory and be alert? Why do they tell you? Why do you think they tell you that? Because you're not as likely to get into trouble or have problems if there's more than one of you. Amazing the wisdom of God, and yet it's so simple. So simple. You come as a little child. Amen? Come as a little child. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm learning, and it's finally dawning, finally registering. I'm a little slow on the uptake, but I'll get there. But God never said we would never be attacked. He never said afflictions and tribulations wouldn't come. But He told us, it's okay, I got it under control. I've already dealt with it. That's exciting. So the answer to when something like this happens, just go and cast it on the Lord. This is a little frivolous, but the picture is, got another one for you, Lord. I don't think there's any shame or unholiness in that. If you're obeying what He says, then you're doing the right thing. Amen. Amen. If you're struggling with something, either just starting, or you're about to think there's a struggle coming, or something past that hasn't quite gone away, and you want to be free today, then don't leave here with it still on you. Once again, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Let Him exalt you. Let Him do something that'll be a blessing for the rest of us this morning. Amen? And bless His kingdom. See, I'm still here. I still got it. I mean, I still have authority over it. Maybe not ungodly people, but I've got authority over everything else. Amen. Then ask for prayer this morning. Let us pray with you. If we need to do it corporately, we can do it corporately. You don't have to come forward. I'll just pray for everybody. Is that okay? Amen. I know certain ones of you. I know Lowell's been going through a struggle. No fault of his own. And I know what it's there for. It's there to try to finally wear him down and where he just, you know, but God, you said, and I just don't see it happening. So did you really say? And yet he knows in his heart he really did say. And it's for him. Amen, Lowell? It's for him. So don't isolate yourself. I've told y'all I'm just a phone call away. I don't care what time of day or night it is. If you don't call and you stay in the situation, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. Amen. Cast your care on him today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Will somebody get ready to help Dusty take the offering, please? In a minute, we're going to take the offering and make our announcements and have a little more praise music. Don't forget, today is our day of fellowship. We want to welcome everybody to stay. We just want everybody to stay. Come get blessed. Get to know one another. Amen. I want to get just a little bit ornery here. You know, some of y'all, you come and you get blessed and you run away. And we don't know what God's doing. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Lord, we ask that you bless this offering and all of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Short and sweet. Hallelujah. Father, you warned us about the things that would happen in our lives, the attacks that would come. But Lord, they're not meant for our harm. You use trials and situations in our lives to cause us to grow, to be strengthened, to be who we are and to be lights and examples in this world of darkness. To show your glory, Lord, by standing in faith, by believing you and allowing you to work the works of righteousness and the blessings in our lives so that we give praise to you, so the world will give praise to you, and Lord, so that your kingdom and you will be exalted. Today, Lord, for anyone in the sound of my voice who's going through any kind of a situation or struggle, I thank you, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. I speak into that situation. I prophesy into that situation, no matter what it is, whether it's physical, emotional, financial, spiritual. I prophesy into that situation. They are delivered. They are whole in Jesus' name. And that the peace of God now abides and rests in them. And I thank you, Lord, for showing yourself strong in everyone's behalf here today, Lord, everyone's behalf, so they can walk out of here with a victor chant, a victor's chant, and a victory chant, Lord. You are all we need, Lord. You're all we need. And if we'll serve you and we'll keep our eyes on you, you promise to bless us on every hand. Not only that, you promise through our obedience to bless us coming and going. For that, we praise you this morning. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. We thank you that we're free. We declare our freedom. If you're free today, say, I'm free.
I'm free.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. From our lips to your ears, Lord. We praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this time. Now, Lord, we ask that your face would continue to shine, your countenance would continue to shine on your people, that they'd continue to be blessed going and coming, Lord. Let their countenance be lifted up, Lord, and let the light of God shine through every life that's here today, Lord, and let it just show forth the glory of God as we praise you, not only with our words and our actions, well, in our prayer, words and our actions, Lord. We thank you. Now, Lord, for the fellowship, we sanctify the food. We receive it with thanksgiving, Lord. We thank you for your blessing, Lord, for your provision and for meeting our needs. Bless those who provided the food, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. We give you praise and thanks forever. Amen. Be blessed.